Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Wrath of Daimajin.
Daimajin Strikes Again, Daimajin Counterattack, 1966.
Daimajin Part 3.
The third
Daimajin movie. We could say we've been dreading it, I guess. What's the whole thing? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
I don't know what three times counts as. I still... I mean, there are podcasts that I listen to that talk about kaiju movies and monster movies and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And some of them still love Daimajin. And I'm like going, are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing? I'm like... How long ago did you see it? I mean,
right.
What they talk about it, they're like, he's cool because he's big. And it says, yeah, but that's like the last 10 minutes of the movie. Mm-hmm. The rest is stuff you have to put up with.
Yeah.
I mean, this one kind of fools you. At the opening, you're going, you're seeing like, oh, Daimajin's foot, Daimajin's fist. You're like, oh, we're going to get some Daimajin early in this one amid all that destruction.
Right.
Well, that's just like an intro.
Here's the thing. I was already expecting Daimajin to just show up in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, surprisingly, he shows up in the last 20 minutes. But I very much enjoyed the storyline with the kids.
You did?
I found it entertaining.
Okay.
And I don't even think it's in a good way. It was almost exactly Goonies with the guys chasing them, like the sideburn gang, like chasing those guys, like the Fratellis.
Yeah.
Especially when they're going across the waterfall.
Right.
I think it was a mix between, it was fine because I understood what they were doing. It wasn't just two different warring clans that were indistinguishable from each other that with Daimajin in the background. These kids were trying to get from point A to point B, which I totally could understand and follow.
It was a quest.
Their acting, one of the kids' acting was really funny and goofy. One of the kids' acting was really bad, and the other two were okay. But on top of that, they had really funny, bizarre dubbing, which sounded like it was old ladies doing their voices. And all of that combined entertained me because I'm like, what the hell is happening in this movie? I'm not saying it's good.
Yeah.
I'm saying of all three Daimajin movies, I was the most entertained during this one.
The actors that did the dubbing, they're definitely, they were all adults.
Right.
But there was like, it'd be someone speaking to someone with no accent at all, and someone else speaking in the same conversation with doing like a thick Japanese accent, which I don't even necessarily know if that's the normal accent that actor had that was doing the dubbing on it,
right.
Or it was just they were doing it because they were playing Japanese people.
I think from what I noticed. Is that you would have the same actor talking to himself as different characters.
And oh, you think
they would change the accent
to be different people.
So it's
like someone telling a story to a kid.
Right. And I'm pretty sure.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure the actor of the old lady that they come across in the wood, the one that tells them about the hawk.
Right.
I'm pretty sure. She's the same voice as what I was calling the middle child, not the tall one, not the short one.
There are four children.
Yes.
So I'm a little lost.
The main kid, not the tallest kid with the headband, and but the second tallest kid.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember the names. I should have jotted them down.
Okay. That kid, I believe, is Tsuruchiki. He's the main kid.
Right.
Who doesn't talk much in this at all, really.
Yeah.
Like, the other ones talk a lot more than he does. Mm-hmm. And then the one that's kind of, they kind of make him the fat one.
Yeah.
Is Daisuku. And
I think he's the one I'm thinking sounds like the old lady.
Kinta is the one that was the littlest when there were only three.
We just said
before.
Yes.
What?
He just kept saying yes. He's like, you promised not to slow us down. You promised, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one they meets his fate later on. And well, then there's Sugi. And Sugi, now, the kid playing Sugi, oh my gosh. What does this person even know they're in a movie?
Was that the kid where you can tell the director is off camera and says, okay, now rub your eyes like you're crying?
It's like if you ever watched the old, like, Little Rascals.
Right, yeah.
There are, like, some that were actual, like,
personalities,
kid actors.
Yeah.
And then there were some that were just young kids, and they just had to, like, do something. They're like, oh, okay, just splash the water. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kid, are you talking about the kid that was holding the kid that was drowning?
That's what?
The one kid that was drowning, and he's like, just let me go. Are you talking about kid that was holding him?
Yeah. That's the kid that was holding him. Yeah. Yeah. He's the kid that. He had the arrow. He was shooting the arrow at the samurais.
Yeah. That was great. Listen. I'm not going to rush out and watch Wrath of Daimajin anytime soon. But if someone says, hey, I have to watch one of these Daimajin movies, I'd say watch this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you get 20 minutes of Daimajin. Maybe the effects in the first one are better, but it was only like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I'd still go the first one.
Yeah.
For the Daimajin itself, yeah. I would say watch most of this and fast forward. And then when you see him lift his hand up and the face change on the head, just push play.
You don't want to see the little kids falling off of the mountainside, or the kid drowning, or the kid dying of frost.
I'm expecting that kid to get taken down by the river.
Yeah,
and no one referred to him later on in the movie at all.
No.
All right, first of all, it was there. And listen, we knew it wasn't going to be great because they were going to a place that was called Hell's Valley, which is basically the sulfur mine, which works. I mean, that's supposed to be the smell of, you know.
Yeah, I like that the Daimajin statue is kind of the guardian of that area.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of like, I liked how the kids kind of respected Daimajin and wished that they could pass and let them know why they were passing. And the hawk seemed cool with them, so they let him through.
But the hawk was interesting. It was interesting because, like, the hawk was introduced as a threatening thing, but you realize that, yeah, he was on the side of good.
Were you assuming it was going to be a giant hawk? But as soon as she mentioned the hawk with the large talons, like, I thought it was going to be like a kaiju, like a big...
Oh, I didn't think it was going to be a kaiju. I didn't think it was going to be something...
Yeah, I was hoping it was going to be something.
I assume it would be, yeah, just like a real hawk, but maybe made to look bigger than it is.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Maijin Mountain, and I kept thinking they were saying Magic Mountain. In fact, the first couple times in my notes, I'd put down Magic Mountain, but it was Maijin. Because I forget that the character's name is Maijin, not Daimajin.
Right.
But we're going to call him Daimajin anyway.
Big Majin. There's a part when they're running away and the littlest one is Sugi. They're running away and Sugi just sits down.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's supposed to be like, oh, he tripped or did something because he had to come back and pick him up. But he just sat.
Yeah, that kid was, I think, struggling. as far as being an actor and didn't understand direction, and they shot three of these movies in 1 year, so they didn't have time to...
The kid was fine. I think the director was struggling trying to get the kid to act.
Right. I did like when they were climbing the cliff and he was using the kid's head to get higher up on the cliff.
Yes.
But it was nuts when they fell. I'm like, oh my gosh, did all these kids just die seriously right now? And I guess they didn't.
Yeah, I'm like, the little one is like the Little Rascals. Does the little one, littlest one, even know he's in a movie? Yeah. And it's like, I feel like they were relying so much on his character of doing like doing save the day kind of things,
right,
in this sequence of the the journey to save the rest of the village, that it just didn't work.
No, but I found it entertaining. Like, it's not good, but it was entertaining to me. So you watched this on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I kind of figured it out after the fact, but when they first go and sleep in that tree.
Yeah.
I thought it was an effect shot. Did it look like an effect shot? Like, it looked
the
like
the tree itself?
Everything, like the whole, like, it looked like they were superimposed over a miniature forest, but it might have just been a set.
No, I think it was a set. It looked like a studio set.
Okay, because when I watched it, I had like kind of a weird, old,
a little fuzzy.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a little. It was a little. Yeah. So, cool. Mm-hmm.
There's a part where in the dub, when like all the prisoners get whipped, and they just have someone say, "Oh, damn it."
Yeah.
Random.
There was a pair of guys that were kind of bumbling samurai at the beginning. I liked those characters, but they didn't really do much.
It was kind of cool is how the one guy with his two samurai henchmen, the samurai had that kind of like that kind of face helmety thing that they wore.
Yeah.
Very kind of old school looking.
That's what I call the sideburn gang. Because the one guy had the sideburns that went into a mustache.
Right.
And then
right.
I thought the other guys also had crazy sideburns, but then realized, yeah, it was that armor just it's that like goes around their cheeks.
Yeah.
But the bottoms kind of flared out like sunburn, like sideburns.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Fratellis or whatever. Yeah, those guys. They were fun.
It's interesting. There's like cheek protectors. It's like not really a helmet. It's like,
I guess it's a soft part of your face, so that's really what you would. I mean, you'd want something to cover your eyes, but I guess you don't. An arrow can penetrate through there.
Can't obstruct your view.
Yeah.
So the hawk attacks the samurai. The samurai shoot the hawk. The hawk bleeds, and Daimajin bleeds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like E.T.
And then Tsurushiki.
Or the Corsican Brothers.
And Tsurushiki, he prays and then jumps off the cliff.
That was nuts.
And goes right through the snow.
Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy. That kid prays to Daimajin to spare his friend's life.
Offers himself up, yeah.
And then it cuts to that.
That's when the kids all fall asleep. Like, the kids are just gonna freeze to death because like they're suddenly they're all so super tired.
Right. And the thing is, I like we saw the kids already survive falling down a rock face. So I'm like, oh, maybe he'll survive. But then they cut to the wide shot of where he's jumping from. I'm like, oh, he's not surviving that.
Yeah.
There right before that. Okay, so there's two things that were similar to the last movie we did, Reigo. So this is the second movie in a row where the character says, "Don't sleep, don't go to sleep while you're old, or you'll die." That happened with one of the sailors in the last movie.
He
kept telling him, "Don't go to sleep, don't go to sleep," and he dies. And the kid says that to this to the kid in here. Also, we get another a character who has blood on his face and it's streaming down, almost look like the Kabuki from the end of the last movie. The bad guy. It almost had the exact same shape. So I'm wondering if that's like a thing in Japan.
That face blood looks like...
Yeah. Like it's a... I don't know. Like a cultural thing or something. But I thought it was weird that both of those things happened like back to back in this movie, but then also in the previous movie. Like there's no white goo in each of these two movies. Nope. We get that a lot. That Sorry. Seems like it's less of a coincidence. But the fact that they had they said don't go to sleep or you'll die. Mm. The hawk dies. That was a bummer. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad that hawk came back, by the way. I know it's mm-hmm. all movie magic, but
right.
It's still,
it was like, know. They definitely had like a taxidermied hawk.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
work with.
Hopefully. I don't know what the standards and practices are.
Maybe it wasn't taxidermied. It's like, all right, like, we're done with the hawk. We're done
shooting. And that's a wrap for the hawk.
Oh man. Wait, we're going to skip the dead scenes. We'll get back to him coming back to life stuff first. Now we're ready to shoot the dead scenes.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's awful.
I know.
And then Daimajin.
Daimajin with 22 minutes left.
Finally.
But I mean, it's an hour and 27 minute movie. So we have like, and we get a little bit of Daimajin at the beginning. So we really have about just an hour before we see Daimajin.
We got a lot of Daimajin holding dolls.
Oh, it's the best part.
He picks the kid up, and then he also has the other guy in his that he smashes into the wall.
Yeah, we also get not only the giant prop hand, which looks like it has been deteriorating over the course of these three
yeah,
shoots.
Yeah.
But we get a giant foot. I don't remember seeing a giant foot in the other movies. We may have.
I know he's definitely stepped on people.
Yeah, but has it been a giant foot? I like that it was a giant foot, though. And that guy kind of gets pushed into the snow.
Yeah.
A lot of good hand stuff. I don't know if Daimajin's had a sword in the previous movies.
Yeah, you know what? As soon as he came to life, and I was like, I spotted that sword, and I was like, has he always had one? And I was like, is he going to pull that sword out? Because
I was like,
you can't just wear a sword and not pull it out.
Yeah, because my thought process was, oh, I hope he finally uses that sword. And I'm like, wait a second.
Has he ever had the sword?
If he had the sword in the last two movies, I would have thought the same thing. But why is this like the first time I'm thinking about this sword?
Yeah, you know, I was sitting there going like, is the sword like extra shiny? Did they do something so I would spot it?
I think it's new. Because in the first one, he has the head spike, and he pulls that out and stabs the guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that first one's pretty good, like the last 10 minutes.
The first one.
Like the effects
just,
stuff.
Yeah, there's just like this just move, like the guy going through the building, just like.
Here's the thing. The character design for Daimajin is awesome. I love it. I like that he has the stone face, and he could change it to the green face. I think he looks cool. I think all the model work, like the scale that they made him, where he's just like the size of like a three-story building instead of a size of a skyscraper. I think that's really cool. And it makes the model work really cool too. Cause he like, is like right in those models. I think a lot of the sort of, blue screen integration is really nice. I don't know how it looks on the Blu-ray, but like there was a shot of him, sort of rear projected in the background, and you see him lift his hand up and bring it down and then rip through like a foreground live action roof that real guys are sitting on. And it looks so cool. Like it's really well done. And it's almost like instead of making these three movies in 1 year, they should have just taken the three effects budgets and made one really badass movie.
Wow. Yeah, and he doesn't have to like resort to what other human faced kaiju. He doesn't have to like suck a missile up his butt.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. I like that it's just a plain mask, but the human eyes, the human eyes make it creepy.
Yeah.
Like seeing the human eyes, you're like, it kind of like gives away the scale of the suit.
And I think
suit,
it's interesting.
But...
Yeah. And it's fascinating how he's got his, when he's a stone statue face, and then he basically reveals the blue face. That's the, you know, that's the Dimogen of action face.
Yeah. And he looks angry. Like the two faces, he looks kind of,
one's just like stoic and like no, nothing. And then, he's throwing logs at all the people.
That was great because they dropped the logs down on him like a
like the Ewoks.
Yeah, exactly.
They thought they could get him.
Yeah, and he just started kicking him. He just started kicking him out of the way. I'm really impressed by the miniature work. Like I thought the miniature logs looked. They matched up with the big logs pretty well. I mean, they're just logs. I don't know how hard that is to make in miniature, but I like that they have, like, there's this one shot where he's walking into the town. Well, first of all, we get he busts down another wall. I think we've seen him knock down a brick wall, a rock wall, and then this new kind of bouldery rock wall. But I like that he goes to the front of the town, punches in the door, and then takes out sort of the door jam, the upper kind of overhang roof of the door. But one of the shots I really liked was he takes out a house, like this giant house. It's a shot from like the alley. He like takes out this house, and as he's walking up the alley, the house is still crumbling behind him. Like stuff like that's really cool. Like the destruction and the like dust and stuff. And like I said, I don't know how good it looks on the Blu-ray, but my version, it looked pretty cool. I'm impressed. I'm always a big fan of the kaiju that aren't super gigantic to where, you know, the models are like, they have to construct like big giant models, you know.
You know, I'm just going to like, it was kind of like flipping through some Dimogen pictures, and he seems to always have that sword on him.
Okay, is this sword just on his side? Because this one was like kind of in the front and off.
Well,
does it hang down along his outer thigh, or does it go along his belt like in this one?
It
has he used a sword?
I don't remember him
before
the sword out.
Before this movie, there's only been like 25 minutes of footage of him, so you think we'd remember the sword? I don't know if he's used it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I liked him snow covered.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool, interesting look. Like it gave him a little bit of a different look. It wasn't just like the same suit. You know, there's a little bit of a wrinkle to it. Oh, the guys who are on the tower with the sulfur, with sort of the sulfur tubs or sulfur bins. Like that was cool. The Dimogen knocked that down and then it started catching on fire. And then the model came tumbling down. Like all of the effect stuff.
Yeah, there's a cool part in the opening part where we saw pieces of Dimogen where like basically like a house was like split in half.
Yeah.
This is that era of good model destruction.
Right.
But yeah.
I know. I was definitely, I don't know if it's because we already went through two of these already, that I was sort of bracing for the worst, but I think I was more entertained than I thought I would be. Maybe I'm just kind of getting used to this weird Dimogen formula.
Yeah.
Where you just got to sit through then wait for the payoff. I don't know if I was just prepared for that, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you.
I mean, usually this felt more like a Gamera movie than the normal Dimogen movies. Cause in the other ones you have like a daughter with the father and the father's sick, or you have like, it's kind of a basic, two different sides who are fighting and Dimogen's in the middle.
Right.
And just takes them both out. Like this one wasn't really centered around war. I guess it was like kind of more like slavery, but the fact that it just kind of focused on something different Even though the kids, you know, it's kids and stuff, they weren't as bad as some of the Gamera movies we've seen. But I did like that how their story was handled. It's, you don't really see a lot of kids dying in movies.
Right.
And this one, even though some of them come back to life, it's really interesting.
Yeah, and to see them in peril. Like the self-sacrifice of the kid.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, there's some, yeah.
Yeah. They're not pulling punches.
Yeah. Yeah. But just didn't quite get the kids to handle that level of gravitas.
Right. Right. But there was something I found charming about that. It was like you could tell the like sort of weird low budgetness of like some of the stuff where when they're walking around in the snow, it's clearly like stuff sprinkled on like sheets of cotton or sheets of fabric, because like while they walk through the snow, everything moves, not just where they step.
Right.
I like the sets. I like the tree set. I like the dream sequence. It was really bizarre. It really didn't add anything to anything. But I thought it was weird and interesting.
Yeah.
That kid had PTSD from his friend drowning, which I guess would make sense, but at the same time, I don't know why we need to see that. But, I mean, overall, this was the most entertaining to me as far as Dimension movies go. But I think I like the model work and the stuff in Dimension won the most. Like the stabbing the dude with the head spike was great.
Yeah.
Because we got to see them hammer that spike into his head and you saw the head bleed and stuff. And then the second one where that guy kind of like was climbing up the flaming boat and sort of crucified himself was kind of interesting. Because he had tried to crucify, or he crucified that girl's dad at the beginning. So it was kind of cool mirroring. But this time, he just grabs that dude, the bad guy, and just stabs him with the sword. Which was great. Because I'm like, he got the sword, and as soon as he took it out, I'm like, oh, what is he? Is he going to start, like, just, like, chopping down houses?
Chopping people.
Yeah. I didn't know what he's going to do, but I was like, oh, you know, they probably couldn't figure out how to do that. He wasn't going to pick up a puppet person and, like, cut off their head, but... But the stabbing was kind of cool. It was... I felt I could have used more of it.
Yeah.
But it was... I mean, if you're going to have that sword hanging there, you better use it.
They did like the really red, like basically the blood that looks like paint.
Yeah.
They went very right. red.
Right. It's like stylized.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I was okay with it. I think maybe because I watched Rego the night before.
Yes.
It really was kind of like, it was kind of cumbersome in a different way where you got a lot of Rego, but it was a lot of repetition. I think with this one, it was like, I already know that I just need to chill out and I'm not going to see Dimension until 10 minutes before this thing is over. And when he showed up 22 minutes before it was over, I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. Cool. So yeah, I was totally fine with it. It's not going to be top five. I mean... But it's going to be top three of Dimension movies for sure.
Somewhere. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like was Dimension, is the first Dimension the one where like he had the chains on his arms and he pulled them?
That, I think so. It might have been the second one. That's the thing I liked about this one being taking place in the snow.
You definitely know which one it is.
Yeah, I know which one it is. Because the first one, he came out of the water with that sort of like... the party of the Red Sea thing, but then he just ended up in the village. It might have been where they put chains around him and started.
I don't think I can tell you any detail from the second one now.
The second one was the one where he was inside the cave on the island, and they took the boats into the islands.
Right,
and he was sitting there.
Right,
and he got separated, like they blew him up, and then like that one piece of him came out of the water and stabbed that guy. And we thought that all the different pieces of Dimension were going to go kill a bunch of people, but he just kind of formed back together. Did he turn into water at the end, I think? I don't know why I would remember this stuff. But that's the one where the dude is on the boat, because that one's kind of the water. That's kind of the water movie. It's like a.
Yeah, that's the one with the three different kingdoms or whatever.
Right, and the island's in the middle, yeah. And they're kind of fighting.
Yeah, and they have like some festival. Where they all kind of come together. Yeah.
Once again, I feel like if you sat someone down and just said, hey, watch this samurai movie, they'd be like, oh shit, there's a thing at the end. What?
Yeah.
But if you say, hey, watch this movie with this thing in it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the samurai is interesting enough.
Hey, watch this movie about these four kids.
Right. And then it kind of spoils it when you have Daimajin at the beginning. But I wouldn't know. I wouldn't do that. I would say, hey, this movie, you got to watch this Japanese movie that Goonies was based on. Maybe that would work.
Yeah, I think for me, it was just like, as far as the Daimajin movies go, it's just like the hopes were high, where it's like going, oh, it's right. like a humanoid kaiju.
Yeah.
Cool. And when I remember when we first started watching that first one, and I was like, oh, cool, it's a period piece. And yeah. Everyone had those those wigs with like the bald spot on the top, and yeah. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Kind of gives it like its own thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, when is this monster gonna show up?
I know, it was like 10 minutes left. It was like literally exactly
a lot of movie to get through.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure
because he's the name of the movie,
right? And there's probably super cuts online on like YouTube,
best of
just all the back to back, just Daimajin footage, and that would be about 40 minutes long, somewhere around there. That'd be great,
yeah.
Just watch that. I still like the character design. I still think when he wakes up, he's a badass. It would be cool to see him go up against someone like King Caesar. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Man, how great would it be if they did a remake, and not even use CG, but just use like advanced model.
The guy.
Yeah. But then put him in more. I don't know. I'm glad we closed it out. And I feel like I was fine with this last one, so it wasn't more like, oh, thank God we're finally done with that.
No. By then we've kind of been, yeah. I feel like we're like, okay, we know what we're getting into right. now with right. the Daimajin. So it, you know, it's like, all right. So now that we know the movies can grow on us a little more. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Mothra rebirth. It's like going, I know what we're getting into.
Oh my gosh. So I forgot we still have one more of those.
Yeah, we do.
I feel like the Mothra rebirths are more fresh in my mind. I think we got a couple months before we watched those, or watched that last one. And I hear the last one's the best of the three, but I mean, what does that really cool. mean? Yeah. Which is the best of these three paper cuts? All right, let's talk about next episode. Now, this is going to be... I think this is where things are really going to be kicking into high gear. I'm really excited about this. Boy, oh boy, hold on. Let me make sure I get these titles right. It's because it's going to be a doubleheader. Our next episode is a doubleheader. We will be watching Godzilla Raids Again and Gigantus the Fire Monster. This is the sequel to Gojira. This is the second Godzilla movie. The only Godzilla movie other than the original that's black and white. I want to say it's the first appearance of Angulus. And we're watching both of them. So the Americanized version and the Japanese version. Godzilla Raids Again and Gigantus the Fire Monster. Very excited about this. I haven't seen these in a long time. And it's going to be fun to see the differences, because we did this with Godzilla 2000 or 1985 and Godzilla and Godzilla King of the Monsters. You just sent me a picture of a Daimajin statue or toy
it's posable.
Oh, he's holding up the dude, he's got a chain wrapped around his neck. He has the sword. Is this from this one or is this from another? No, because this doesn't have the snow on it. Or does it? No, that doesn't have. No, it doesn't.
I think it's. I don't think it's necessarily a specific. Specific to. I don't know. I guess we had to figure out who that guy is that he's holding.
Right.
Which bad samurai is this one?
Maybe part one. See how the sword is on the toy though.
Yeah.
On this one, it was hanging down, so it was. I think it was just more pronounced.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking. Like looking at, I feel like maybe in the now. We may be wrong, and we just missed the fact that he pulls the sword out. But the way the sword stood out when we saw it this time, and we both noted it, I feel like we are just gotten used to there no being no sword action in the previous movies. Because there's something about the sword in this one that seemed more prominent. And I'm wondering if like the sword in the other ones was just so part of the costume that it just was a costume piece.
I don't know.
Because he just kind of like hits people with his oven mitt hands.
Right, which you know what, like I'm totally fine with too. Like he doesn't have any sort of attack powers. He can like turn into a black smoke monster. He could turn into water. He could turn into light. He could sort of like teleport, I guess, but he doesn't have any like powers like fire breath or sonic punching or anything like that,
right?
So I don't know, like, I'm fine with, yeah, his sword's in the other one. Why wouldn't we be so excited about him using that sword? Why now? Are we like, oh, we want him to use that sword. I don't know.
Or maybe it's like now. Huh. Now he'll.
Yeah. But I'm glad he did. Because I would have been mad. It's right there. You have it. Use it.
Oh, that's the guy from the first Daimajin movie. In
so Daimajin 1 is the one with the chains.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Okay. Yeah. And it's a removable sword. So,
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe we're wrong. I mean, how long did he watch that first damage?
I don't
think
he's ever used it.
I don't think he's ever chopped anybody. Yeah.
I don't know. But I think, I don't know what we're planning for our final episode as far as like doing a couple of, thinking of doing a couple of top lists, like top five lists and stuff.
Like, yeah, I think we kind of just talk about, you know, the whole journey in general and right. Like what, yeah.
But I wanted to like say, like even right now, like the design of Daimajin is one of my favorites.
I think coming up I think definitely talking about like as far as like character design, costume wish list. Things like that.
Favorite white goo.
Right. I don't know how I would pick a favorite white goo.
I think mine is the one from, what was it, the monster that challenges the world where he like rubs it into Dusty's chest?
I was thinking, that's the only one I can think of right now.
Or the Gareth Edwards Godzilla that's on the, they wipe it off the thing and it's like a nuclear bomb. And they're like, they go into the Mutos, like drip it down on their heads and stuff. Yeah, that's a good one. There's a lot of it. But yeah, as best far as like, but Daimajin, the character, like I would want that as a toy. Like, I think that just looks cool on its own. And even though I don't like the movies.
There's that one that was like the chibi style. That was like, all those ones are like short and stocky with big head versions. There's a Daimajin of that that's also really cool looking.
Right. Yeah. It's just a cool design. So yeah, I mean, it's a bummer. Well, I'm not going to say it's a bummer. I'm glad we're over with it, but I kind of wish that there was that one Daimajin movie that was just like, okay, here we go. Now we're talking.
But well, there's a series too.
Oh, yeah.
There is a follow-up, something called like Daimajin Canon or something like
Does
that.
Does he show up in the last 45 seconds? Is it like, is this screen time like
I don't
relative
know.
To the movies. I don't know. All right. Yes. So let's. I'm looking forward to the next episode a lot. It's probably going to be longer than normal because we're talking about the two movies and it's Godzilla. It's been a while since we talked about Godzilla.
This one's black and white still, right?
Yeah. There's only two. It was Gojira came out, then this movie, and then I think King Kong versus Godzilla was the third one, or Godzilla versus the Sea Monster. It's one of those two, but they were both in color. So, yeah, it's black and white. I've seen these both just like once, and I'm pretty sure it's Angulus or Anguirus.
Right, it should be.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Because we haven't seen him as the bad guy yet, and we've only seen them be friends.
Right.
And so, you know, usually
this is their meet cute.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So they're friends because they've had the longest relationship.
Right. And they can talk to each other.
Oh my gosh. There's one of these deformed real Godzillas. One of those little ones with like the big heads and they're super detailed.
Yeah.
And but it's from Godzilla Raids Again. It is awesome. I'll send that to you. So, okay. Godzilla Raids Again and Gigantus the Fire Monster. Hopefully both of those will be up on kaijupot.com. You could also go there for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And yeah, that's all for Daimajin. Until next time, no more Daimajin.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, you got one?
I'm gonna flip the sandal off my foot to tell the future.
Oh, hey, when they dumped that guy into the, when the bad guy got dumped into the sulfur pool.
Yeah.
What were the two things that popped up? Was this like his shin guards? I couldn't tell what they were. But what would be able to float on the sulfur that didn't disintegrate?
It wasn't like those two toy model things that the guy did. It was like one of the good guys. He had those two, like, he was like making those little figures that he was carving out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't those, was it?
I don't know. I couldn't see what it was.
But, I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway, that's over with. No more Daimajin.
Yeah, I was throwing people into that pool.
Yeah. I thought something was going to happen to the good guy that got dropped in. Like, because he got that wound. And I'm like, oh, is Daimajin part of this sulfur pool? Is he going to get the spirit of Daimajin or something? No, he just died.
Interesting.
All right. Thank you.